What if the very thing we've been taught to save for special occasions, praise, is actually the daily practice that could revolutionize everything? Most of us approach worship like fine china, reserved for Sundays, special services, or moments when we feel particularly spiritual. But what happens when we flip this script entirely? When praise becomes not our response to answered prayers, but the prayer itself? Stormy Omartian stumbled into this discovery not through theological study, but through desperation. Her childhood home was a wasteland of emotional neglect, a father who'd rejected faith entirely, a mother whose affection felt perpetually out of reach. By adulthood, she'd tried filling the void with everything our culture promises will work: drugs, alcohol, occult experimentation, romantic relationships. Each proved to be another dead end. Two illegal abortions, a crumbling entertainment career, a suicide plan taking shape in her mind. The woman who seemed to have it all was drowning in plain sight. Then a friend named Terry mentioned faith not as religion, but as relationship, leading her to a church where something unexpected happened. She encountered worship not as performance, but as portal into God's presence. That shift, from fixating on her problems to focusing on God's character, became the hinge upon which her entire life turned. We become what we behold. Scroll social media constantly, and you'll measure life against curated highlight reels. But what happens when our attention shifts to someone infinite? This isn't positive psychology in religious clothing. The transformation occurs because we're aligning with ultimate reality. Like standing before the Grand Canyon, the longer you gaze, the more your sense of scale adjusts. Daily concerns find proper proportion against something vastly larger. When Stormy's husband's career forced relocation, she found herself isolated, grieving lost community. Instead of spiraling, she made a counterintuitive choice, deliberately praising God for who he is, faithful, present, loving, regardless of how she felt. This wasn't denial, but defiance of the lie that circumstances define reality. As she persisted, something shifted. Not her situation, but her capacity to experience God within it. Private worship cultivates intimacy corporate gatherings cannot. Those quiet moments develop relational depth that sustains us when crowds disperse. Picture a congregation speaking aloud various names of God: provider, healer, protector, redeemer. As voices overlap, the atmosphere shifts, almost tangible, charged with awareness of presence. These names aren't mere titles, they're revelations of character. When you comprehend him as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, financial anxiety finds proper context. When you recognize El Roy, the God who sees, loneliness loses its sting. Facing illness and declaring him Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, acknowledges divine capability transcending medical intervention. Speaking these names aloud reorients our thinking. In moments of scarcity, declaring, "You are my provider," shifts focus from lack to abundance. Meditating on God's names creates a reservoir we draw from when circumstances contradict what we know about his character. The most revolutionary truth about God isn't his power or knowledge, it's his fatherhood. This shifts spirituality from performance to relationship, from striving to belonging. Unlike earthly fathers who may disappoint, God offers perfect fatherhood that never abandons or withholds love. This identity fundamentally changes self-perception. Worth no longer derives from achievements, but from being beloved by the Creator. Prayer and praise deepen this father-child bond. We approach him not as anxious servants, but as beloved children, confident in his affection. His guidance and boundaries are designed for flourishing, not restriction. The rules aren't arbitrary limitations, but guardrails on the path to life. As we embrace God as Father, the orphan spirit that drives human striving gives way to security. This transforms how we handle criticism, face failure, and love others. From this secure foundation, we can risk, grow, and become who we were always meant to be. The greatest challenge in experiencing God's love isn't his willingness to give, but our capacity to receive. We're experts at conditional love, the kind with performance requirements. Divine love operates differently, freely given, unconditionally offered, inexhaustibly available. Human love often falters because we're giving from empty tanks. Past hurts and fear of rejection build walls around our hearts. Transformation begins when we allow God's love to fill us during worship. As we focus on His character rather than our circumstances, our hearts expand to receive more than we thought possible. This divine love naturally overflows to others. When we are loved well, we love well, not from striving, but from abundance. Worship becomes the channel for this exchange, shifting focus from seeking human validation to resting in divine assurance. Understanding God's love fundamentally rebuilds identity. As Paul wrote, nothing, not death, life, angels, demons, present, future, height, depth, nor anything else can separate us from this love. In a world that constantly evaluates worth by achievement, this unchanging love transforms how we walk through every day. At Christianity's heart lies a paradox. The Creator chose limitation, vulnerability, and sacrifice for His creation. God in flesh experienced hunger, exhaustion, betrayal, and excruciating death for us. The crucifixion represented more than physical suffering. It embodied spiritual warfare that broke sin's power, death's grip, and hell's claim. Through this sacrifice, Jesus eliminated the barriers separating humanity from God, addressing every aspect of human brokenness. With Christ dwelling within believers through His Spirit, life takes on new dimensions, peace transcending understanding, inheritance in God's kingdom, purpose aligned with eternal values. The sacrifice secures not just forgiveness, but ongoing relationship, with Jesus actively interceding before the Father. Right now, He's speaking your name before heaven's throne. Recognizing this love calls for daily remembrance and gratitude. The appropriate response isn't just intellectual acknowledgement, but wholehearted devotion. This practice reorients perspective on daily challenges. When viewed through the lens of what Jesus endured, our difficulties take on different proportions. The price paid establishes worth beyond any worldly measure, countering insecurity and self-doubt with confidence based not on personal merit, but on God's extravagant love. Life without forgiveness is like carrying a backpack of rocks, each representing failure, regret, or shame. The weight becomes crushing. God's forgiveness liberates us from this burden, enabling intimate communion with Him. Christ's redeeming love calls believers to embrace grace as ongoing reality, not one-time event. Living in forgiveness means consistently turning to God with failures, trusting restoration rather than fearing rejection. This runs counter to human instinct. We hide mistakes, minimize sins, or promise improvement before approaching God. But He invites us to come as we are, broken, guilty, ashamed, and receive transforming mercy. Worship acknowledges God's forgiving nature and creates space for grace in our hearts. As we praise Him for mercy, we become more receptive to receiving it, dissolving shame and self-condemnation. Scripture provides numerous examples: David after adultery and murder, Peter after denial, Paul after persecution. These demonstrate God's loving character toward repentant hearts. Through worship, we learn to see ourselves through God's eyes rather than through failures. As we praise God for His mercy, we create a cycle. The more we acknowledge His forgiveness, the more fully we receive and extend it to others, breaking cycles of bitterness that poison communities and families. What if praise became your default response rather than your last resort? When anxiety rises, relationships strain, finances tighten, or health falters, what if your first move was worship? This isn't manipulation. It's positioning yourself to see life through the lens of God's character rather than your circumstances. It's developing spiritual muscle memory that turns toward light even when darkness presses in. Start small. Speak one name of God aloud each morning. Thank Him for one aspect of His character before bed. Join corporate worship as participant, not spectator. The prayer that changes everything isn't a magic formula. It's turning your gaze from your problems to your God, from your inadequacy to His sufficiency, from your failure to His faithfulness. In that turning, transformation begins, not always in circumstances, but always in you.